Welcome to Zichur Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're with Sechur Shabbos, Daf Chav Ches. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one has to do with the tachash, the animal whose beautiful hide was used for the Mishkan. Rav Yosef says that the Targum translates the word tachash as saskona, which Rav Yosef explains to mean that it rejoices in the beauty of its many colors, sas begavnin harbe. Later on in the Daf, we learned that Rabbi Iwa said in the Reish Lakish, that Rav Meir used to say, that the tachash that existed in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu was a unique species, and the sages couldn't decide if it was a behemoth or a chai. It had a single horn in its forehead, and it presented itself to Moshe Rabbeinu for the need of the hour, for its hides to be used for the cover of the Mishkan, and afterwards it was hidden. Since the tachash had a single horn on its head, it can be determined it was a kosher animal, based on the rule that any horned animal can be presumed to be kosher, based on the Gemara Nida. Point number two, a brace was brought that stated that the only hide fit. We also learned that the requirement for the parchments of the tefillin and the tefillin boxes must come from kosher hides is learned from the pasuk about tefillin, Uman tiyeh Torah Hashem beficha, so that the Torah of Hashem will be in your mouth. The Gemara explains that the pasuk is requiring that the parts of tefillin that have Torah written upon them, mainly the parchments and the box that has the shin on it, must be from an animal that's permissible to be eaten, mina mutar beficha, from that which is permissible in your mouth. And point number three, the Gemara in the next mission begins with an explanation of the dispute. Whether folded cloth that is 3x3 finger breadths, etzba'os, is makabel tumah. Rabbi Ezra holds that folding the cloth alone does not negate its status as a beged, as a garment. And as Ritva explains, that the garment will only lose its status if the change has a lasting impact on it. Rabbi Akiva holds that folding the cloth does serve to negate its cloth status as a garment, and therefore it is no longer makabel tumah. All right, so let's review. Point number one has to do with the tachash, the animal whose beautiful hide was used for the Mishkan. Rav Yosef says that the Targum translates the word tachash as sasgona, which Rav Yosef explains to mean that it rejoices in the beauty of its many colors, sas begavnin harbe. Later on in the Daf, we learned that Rabbi Iwa said in the name of Reish Lakish, that Rav Meir used to say that the tachash that existed in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu was a unique species, and the sages could not decide if it was a behemoth or a chayah. It had a single horn on its forehead and presented itself to Moshe Rabbeinu for the need of the hour for its hide to be used for the cover of the Mishkan, and afterwards it was hidden. Since the tachash had a single horn on its head, it can be determined, though, that it was a kosher animal based on the rule that any horned animal can be presumed to be kosher, according to the Gemara Nida. Point number two, a brisa was brought that stated that the only hide fit for the service of heaven from Malach HaShemayim is the hide of a kosher animal. The Gemara clarifies that the servers of heaven, the Malach HaShemayim, is referring to tefillin, and the Brice is coming to teach specifically that the straps of the tefillin must come from a kosher animal. We also learned that the requirement of the parchments of the tefillin and the tefillin boxes to come from kosher hide is learned from the pasuk about tefillin, Laman tiyeh Torah Hashem beficha, so that the Torah of Hashem will be in your mouth. The Gemara explains that the pasuk is requiring that the parts of tefillin that have Torah written upon them must be from an animal that it's permissible to be eaten, mina mutar beficha, from that which is permissible in your mouth. And point number three, the Gemara in the next mission begins with an explanation of the dispute, whether folded cloth that is 3x3 finger breadths, etzba'os, is makabel tumah. Rabbi Ezra holds that folding the cloth alone does not negate its status as a garment, as the Ritva explains, according to Rabbi Ezra, that a garment will only lose its status if the change has a lasting impact on it. And Rabbi Kiva holds that folding the cloth does serve to negate the cloth status of the garment, and therefore it is no longer makabel tumah. All right, so now we go to the siman. So the siman for Chav Ches is a strong man, koach, a strong man. So here goes. The big strong man, whose colorful pet unicorn stood loyally by his side, sold kosher tefillin straps on the side of the road, wrapped up carefully in pure folded cloth. Once again, in slow motion. The big strong man, that reminds us of Rondav Chav Ches, koach. Here goes. The big strong man, whose colorful pet unicorn stood loyally by his side, which reminds us of the first point dealing with the tachash, the animal whose hide was used for covering the Mishkan. Rav Yosef said the Targum translates the word tachash as saskona, which Rav Yosef explains to mean it rejoices in the beauty of its many colors, sas begavnin harbe. Later on in the Daf, we learn that Rabbi Iwa said in the name of Rabbi Reish Lakish, that Rav Meir used to say that the tachash that exists in the days of Moshe was a unique species, and the sages couldn't decide if it was a behemoth or a chayah. It had a single horn on its forehead, and it presented itself to Moshe for the need of the hour for its hide to be used for the cover of the Mishkan, and afterwards it was hidden. Since the tachash had a single horn on its head, it can be determined that it was a kosher animal, based on the rule that any horned animal can be presumed to be kosher. So the big strong man, whose colorful pet unicorn stood loyally by his side, sold kosher tefillin straps on the side of the road, which reminds us that Brisa was brought to state that the only hide fit for the service of heaven, Melech HaShemayim, is the hide of a kosher animal. The Gemara clarifies that the service of heaven, the Melech HaShemayim, is referring to tefillin, and the Brisa is coming to teach specifically that the straps of the tefillin must come from a kosher animal. We also learned that the requirement for the parchments and tefillin boxes to come from kosher hides is learned from the pasuk in the parsha tefillin, L'man tiyeh Torah Hashem b'ficha, so that the Torah Hashem will be in your mouth. The Gemara explains that the pasuk is requiring that the parts of tefillin that have Torah written upon them must be from an animal that is permissible to be eaten, mina mutter b'ficha, from that which is permissible in your mouth. So the big, strong man, whose colorful pet unicorn stood loyally by his side, sold kosher tefillin straps on the side of the road, wrapped up carefully in pure folded cloth. Which reminds us, the Gemara in the next Mishnah begins with an explanation of the dispute whether folded cloth that is 3x3 finger breadths is makabel tuma. Rabbi Yezer holds that folding the cloth alone doesn't negate its status as a garment. As the Ritva explains, according to Rabbi Yezer, the garment will only lose its status if the change has a lasting impact on it. Rabbi Kiva holds that the folding the cloth does serve to negate the cloth's status as a garment, and therefore it is no longer makabel tuma. So once again, the big, strong man, whose colorful pet unicorn stood loyally by his side, sold kosher tefillin straps on the side of the road, wrapped up carefully in pure folded cloth. Now it's time for our four blot back chazara. Daf Chavdalet. So the Simcha Chavdalet is a pitcher, a cut, a pitcher. So here goes. The pitcher, reminding us we're in Daf Chavdalet. The pitcher of Tami Trum Oil that had big Al HaNisim and Yalav Yavu written on it to remind people, to include them in their benching and their tefillahs, which reminds us, the question was asked whether one is required to mention the miracle of Chanukah and Birkas Hamazon in Al HaNisim. Do we say that since Chanukah is only a Drabbanan, one is not obligated to mention it, or perhaps because of the importance of Birkas Manisa publicizing the miracle, one must mention it? So Rav has said in the name of Rav Schora, who said in the name of Rav, that one is not obligated to mention it, but if he wishes to, then he should mention it in the section of Hodah that begins with Nodelecha. And also Rav Oshi taught in a braisa that on days when there's an obligation to bring a karban musaf, such as Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, in the evening, morning, and afternoon, one davens the Shemoneh Esrei and recites Yalav Yavo in the bracha of Avoda in Ritzei. One also recites Yalav Yavo in Birchas HaMazon on these days. So again, the picture of Tami Trumo that had big Al HaNisim and Yalav Yavo written on it to remind people to include them in their benching and their tefillahs was poured out on the first day of Chol HaMoed so the oil could be burned, which reminds us, the Gemara explains that one may not burn Tamei Trumo oil, Shemen Sreifa, on Yantav, because one may not burn disqualified sacred offerings on Yantav, Ein Sorf and Kachem Yantav. Chizkiah, and so too one of the sages from Chizkiah's academy taught, that the source for this law is from the pasuk regarding the carbon Pesach, Losi Sir Menu Ad Boker. You should not leave any of it until the morning, Vanosi Menu Ad Boker Be'esh Tisrafu, and that which is left until the morning you shall burn in fire. The reason that until morning was mentioned a second time was to teach that the time to burn the carbon Pesach is the second morning, which is the first day of Chol HaMoed, and to prohibit the burning of Kadshim on the first morning, meaning Yantav. Daf Chaf Hei. So the Simcha Chaf Hei is a silver anniversary. So here goes. The silver anniversary party, which reminds us, we're on Daf Chaf Hei. The silver anniversary party was a disaster when the wealthy man's 100 servants, which reminds us, the question was asked in a brace, Ezu Asher, who is wealthy? Ramirez says it's anyone who takes pleasure in his wealth, and Rashi says, be it large or small. Rabbi Tarfon says anyone who has 100 vineyards, 100 fields, and 100 servants who work in those fields. Rabbi Kiva says anyone who has a beautiful wife in deeds, Ishana b'maasim. Rabbi Yossi says anyone who has a bathroom near his table, meaning near where he eats. So the silver anniversary party was a disaster when the wealthy man's 100 servants ran out of Tamei Truma to cook the food, which reminds us, the Gemara teaches that one may benefit, one can get hanah from the burning of Truma, that is Tamei. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav Bar Avua that this is learned from the pasuk of Ani Hinei Nesati Lecha Es Mishmeres Trumasai, and behold, I have given to you the safeguard of my Truma offerings. The Torah speaks of two Trumos, one that is Tahor and one that is Tameh, and the pasuk says Lecha, that's given to you, meaning it shall be yours to burn under your pot. So the silver anniversary party was a disaster when the wealthy man's 100 servants ran out of Tameh Truma to cook the food, and the guests couldn't take the stench from the itron they used to light the room. Which reminds Rabbi Shmuel in the Mishnah prohibited from lighting with itron due to Kavod Shabbos. Rav explains that itron's foul odor may cause someone to leave the illuminated room and eat in the dark, and he holds that because of Kavod Shabbos, one needs to eat where there is light. And Rav quotes Rav Nachum Bar Zavda, some say it was Rav Nachum Bar Rava, who said in the name of Rav, that lighting where one eats on Shabbos is an obligation, Hadlakas Nerbes Shabbos Chova, and washing one's hand and feet in warm water is optional, that's Rishus. And I, Rav Nachum, say that washing is a mitzvah. So once again, the silver anniversary party was a disaster when the wealthy man's 100 servants ran out of tummy truman to cook the food, and the guests couldn't take the stench from the itron that used to light the room. Daf Chavav. So Simcha Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. The soldiers threatened. That sounds like a military coup. That means we're on Daf Chavav. The soldiers threatened to use sweet-smelling balsam oil and napalm bombs, which reminds us, it was taught in Braisa, Rabbi Shimon Elazar prohibits kindling the Shabbos lights with balsam tzuri. Rabbi explains it was prohibited because it's dangerous due to being highly flammable. Secondly, one might be tempted to use some of the oil in the lamp because of the aroma, and by removing oil, it would cause the fire to go out more quickly and thereby be over on mechaba, on extinguishing. Rabbi Shimon Elazar provides an additional reason why balsam is prohibited for lighting. He explains that since it comes from the sap of the tree, not the fruit extract, it doesn't draw well through the wick. So the soldiers threatened to use sweet-smelling balsam oil and napalm bombs to take over the olive oil plantation, which reminds us of Tanya Braisa when Rabbi Tarfon said that one can only use olive oil for Shabbos light. Rabbi Yochum and Nuri rose to a beat and objected, given that many communities do not have access to olive oil. He said that the only oils forbidden to use are the ones that are specifically prohibited by the Rabbanan. So the soldiers threatened to use sweet-smelling balsam oil and napalm bombs to take over the olive oil plantation before the poor workers surrendered wearing tiny, tattered, and tummy garments of wool and linen. Which reminds us, any garment, any baggage made from wool or linen that is a minimum of 3 finger breadths, 3 etzba'ot by 3 etzba'ot finger breadths, can be makabel tumah from tzaras. This is because a garment of this size is fitting to be used by the poor. Our Bryce explains the source for this, that if the Torah had written in the parsha of tzaras beged, then when it had applied, only a complete garment of wool or flax can become tameh. Since the Torah wrote instead the habeged and the beged, the vav and the hey come to include even a smaller garment. Daf Chav Zayin. So the Simcha Chav Zayin is a kazoo. So here goes. The little boy blew his annoying kazoo. Kazoo, that means we're on Daf Chav Zayin. The little boy blew his annoying kazoo every time he saw someone be matami, their garments made from any material, which reminds us, a brice is brought to support Rabbi's view that Rabbi Shimon Elazar is the opinion that even materials other than wool and linen are makabel tuma if they're 3x3 tefachim. The Brisa states that from the word in the Parsha of Tumah Sheretz, beged, a garment, we can only learn the source of a garment of wool or linen, similar to the specified beged garment in the Parsha of Tzaras. When the Torah states, o beged, or a garment, one can derive that other garments are makabel tumah from a sheretz as well. Abaya, who holds that according to everyone, garments of other materials besides wool and linen are not makabel tumah, he uses this drasha to teach that a cloth of wool or linen that are even 3x3 finger breadths, etzba'os, are makabel tumah from a sheretz. So the little boy blew his annoying kazoo every time he saw someone be matami their garments made from any material while wearing his pajamas with no tzitzis, which reminds us, it was taught in a brice regarding tzitzis, that the pasuk of Uri'isim Oiso, and you shall see it, implies that there's no obligation to wear tzitzis when wearing a night garment, a ksus laila, since they can't be seen at night. So the little boy blew his annoying kazoo every time he saw someone be matami their garments made from any material while wearing his pajamas with no tzitzis and hiding behind the flax tree. Which reminds us, the third mission of the Perek states that anything that comes from a tree may not be used as a wick to light for Shabbos except for flax. Since flax is not a tree, the Gemara seeks the source where is it referred to as a tree, which therefore compelled the Mishnah to exclude flax from all other trees. It quotes the pasuk from the story of Rachav, and she brought them up to the roof and hid them in the trees of flax, the Pishdeya 8. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachas. Here goes. Number 1, where do we learn that Losavar Le'esha applies outside the base of Migdash and inside the base of Migdash if the fire is not on the Mizbeach? That's on Daf Chaf. Good. Number 2. Where do you learn that Tefillin Srefs must be made from the hide of kosher animals? That's on Daf Chaf Ches. Good. Number 3. Where do you learn that one is permitted to burn Tame Truma? That's on Daf Chaf Hey. Great. Number 4. Where do you learn that the reason for the Rabbanan, the Tame metalware that was broken, repair, reverts to its old Tuma status, was out of concern for disuse of the Mechatas? That's on Daf Tezayin. Good. Number 5. Where do the Malchokas wear a folded 3x3 etzbo's cloth can be makabel tumah or not? That's on Daf Chaf Ches. Great. Number 6. Where do you learn one can't leave meat in the oven air of Shabbos unless it's reached the point of Machal Ben Drosai? That's on Daf Chaf. Good. Number 7. Where do you learn the various ways to perform Hadlakas Ner Chanukah? Standard way, Mahadrin and Mahadrin mean Mahadrin. That's on Daf Chaf Av. Good. Number 8. Where do we learn a menorah 20 amos high or higher is possible? That's on Daf Chaf Beis. Good. Number 9. Where do we learn the garments that are worn at night do not require tzitzis? That's on Daf Kav Zayin. Good. Number 10. Where do we learn that wicks and oils in the base of Mikdash have to be superior so that flame ascends? That's on Daf. Chaf Aleph. Great. Now let's go to the three bonus questions from Brachas. Number 1. Where do we learn that making a bracha rishona is based on Svara? That's on Daf. Lamed Hey. Good. Number 2. Where do we learn that one only makes a bracha on light if it was lit for illumination? That's on Daf. Nun Gimel. Good. And number 3, where do we have the question whether Kriyishma is a Deraisa or a Derabanan? That's on Daf. Chaf Aleph. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz and the three bonus questions from Maseches Brachas. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.